Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we're going to look at a portion of the same text we looked at this morning, yet allow it to take us in a different direction, as we're going to use this text tonight to talk about the subject of surrender. So here in Acts chapter 5, let's begin reading at verse 1. And a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Let's pray. Lord, I ask thy blessing as we consider this text once again tonight and try to make a particular application regarding it. Lord, there are certain subjects that seem to come up often in the Bible, either directly or perhaps indirectly by application. And certainly the subject of surrender is one such theme. And so I pray that as we consider that tonight, that we might examine our own hearts and lives to ensure that we are surrendered to your will for our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice at least twice there in the verses that we read, it mentioned how Ananias and Sapphira kept back, it says there in verse number 2, part of the price. And there in verse number 3 at the end, it says the same thing, to keep back part of the price of the land. They kept back something not only from the disciples, but they kept back something from God. Which to me, it means that they weren't completely surrendered to the Lord. And you'll think about that word, surrender, with me. You know, when you think about surrendering, a lot of times you think about it within the context of the military, you know, an army. And when one particular army is being defeated so badly and they wish, you know, for the battle to cease, they will surrender. And many times they do something that's symbolic of their surrender. They'll raise a white flag. You know, sometimes movies portray, you know, individuals coming to meet their opposing army, or at least the leaders of that opposing army, on a horse with a white flag. It means they're not, you know, coming forward for the purpose of battle, but yet to surrender. It means that you're willing to stop fighting. You're willing to lay down your arms. You're, in essence, telling the other party, you win, and I give up. You know, even in wrestling, which is the one sport I'm most familiar with, not necessarily in high school and collegiate wrestling, would you have people forfeiting, but you know, in the modern day MMA, or maybe even the fake wrestling, maybe it's still on the TV today. It used to be when I was a kid. You get somebody in a particular move, you know, and it's either choking them so that they cannot breathe, or hurting them and they think their arm's about ready to fall off, and, you know, tap the mat or tap the individual to indicate to the ref that they surrender, that they give up, you know, meaning they've been placed in such a position that they no longer wish to fight. They no longer wish to go on in that same direction. You know, here we have this account of Ananias and Sapphira. And this couple sold, as we looked at this morning, their possessions. And unlike Barnabas, who is recorded at the end of chapter number 4, they didn't give all of the proceeds to the disciples. They kept back part of the money. They had not given everything. And so in light of this, by application, I would like to ask each of us this evening, is there anything that we have kept back from God? If so, what is it that we are holding back from God? You see, Ananias and Sapphira, they were saved church members. And you may be saved, and you may be following Jesus. It certainly appears that Ananias and Sapphira, to at least some degree, was following the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps they were growing in knowledge and in grace. Perhaps you are growing in knowledge and in grace. But that doesn't mean that each of us, like Ananias and Sapphira, are not tempted at times to do something that we should not. And here they were tempted. And the error so much wasn't keeping back, you understand. That was within their power. The error was in lying about it. But yet nonetheless, it appears that God had moved upon this church to do that very thing. I don't know that it's a pattern established for you and I today. I don't suspect that it is. But God had moved it upon the hearts of this church to do that. But Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't give everything. You know, my advice to anybody who's struggling in the area of surrender is to stop fighting, is to throw up the white flag and to surrender to the Lord. Because just as salvation is an important step and perhaps the most important step that we'll ever make in our relationship with God, there's a subsequent step that each of us have to take, and that is we have to surrender our lives to the Lord. And you know why? In large part, we have lukewarm Christians, you know, throughout the United States of America today, because most of those Christians are not willing to surrender everything to God. It's a scary thing to do, isn't it? You know, when an army surrenders to their enemy, I'm sure that's a scary thing. Because they don't know what the terms of the surrender might include. It might include taking over all of their land, taking over all of their commerce. It might include putting them under tribute or taking them as servants or slaves. Yet they understand that that's better than the alternative, which is to lose their life. But you know, when it's a little bit different when we surrender to God. It might be a fearful thing because we don't know what God might require of us. But you can be assured that whatever it is that He requires of us, if we do it faithfully, ultimately it will merit His blessings and His approval. You know, I've listed a number of things that sometimes people are a little reluctant to surrender to the Lord. One such thing is baptism. It's the first step of a new believer. It has no age limit, only one qualification, and that is you must be saved. But a lot of people are scared of baptism, especially in Mexico. We read, you know, the letter from Brother Cook in South America. It's a little bit like that there, but it seems to me to be a lot more so in Mexico. It's a step that people there are afraid to take because it's when their family members understand that they're taking Jesus Christ seriously. It's almost as if they are now divorcing themselves from the Roman Catholic Church, which pretty much everybody is involved in there, and identifying now with this independent Baptist church. It's a huge step. And therefore, it's a fearful thing for the people of Mexico. Sometimes people are afraid to surrender their pocketbook. they're afraid to tithe, you know, and to give to the Lord consistently and faithfully. You know, they think to themselves, how are they going to make ends meet when they give a tenth of what they make, you know, to the church and to the Lord? But what we don't recognize when we think that is God is going to make that 90% go much further than the 100% could ever go. But some people aren't, and a lot of people aren't willing to surrender their pocketbook and to give that to God's control. Sometimes it's church membership. Sometimes that is a difficult step for people to make because, again, in many people's minds, that's a serious step. And not only does it bring membership, but it brings accountability when you're a member of a local church. And so sometimes people hold back. Sometimes people like Ananias and Sapphira, they keep back. Sometimes people keep back their service for the Lord. Some people are content to attend church services, but are not always willing to serve in the church. Some people, especially young people, are afraid to completely surrender to the Lord because they don't know which direction God will point them to serve Him. Used to be when I was a kid, everybody would always ask what you want to be when you grow up. I don't really recall how I would answer that question back then. I know after a while when I was in high school I was going to coach wrestling and teach math. And that's what I would tell people. That was my desire. That was my intent when I started college. But the Lord had different plans. Some people think about being a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a businessman. And these may be all good things for young people to consider. But have you first considered what God would have you to do? Maybe it means being a missionary. Maybe it means being a pastor. Or maybe it means just being a layman, supporting and assisting the pastor of a local church. But whatever it is, have you surrendered your life to God? Have you lost your life in His? Have you said, Lord, what would You have me to do? Because you know what, folks? Our service in our local church is much more important than the 40 hours a week that we give to our secular employer. That's necessary to put food on the table. And again, it's honorable to work. That's the means by which God has chosen for us to provide for our needs and the needs of our family. So in a sense, that is a service to the Lord, a service to our families, and it can be a service to our churches if we are faithfully tithing and giving to that work. But I'm specifically talking about the tasks at work. You know, my task at work is to keep the computers running efficiently and effectively. And, you know, sometimes that's important, especially if you're thinking about one of the computers, you know, maybe in the operating room. The doctor might have information that he needs to perform the surgery. Perhaps what Tammy does is even more important. Sometimes it's life or death. Some people think what Brianna does is important. It's their lunch sandwich, you know. What Tom does, people think that's important. I need to stay warm. I need to stay cool in the summer. But you know, those tasks are temporary. And they're important. They're, what's the word I'm looking for? They're only going to profit in this life. There's no eternal value necessarily in them, other than faithfully fulfilling your duties and providing for your family. But you know what we do here in the church is of an eternal importance. It impacts people's souls for Christ. It impacts people's effectiveness in their service for Christ. And therefore, what we do in our local church is much more important. And what the pastor, the preacher does, is not any more important than what the person in the pew does. And what the missionary does is not necessarily any more important than what you do, because you have to be a missionary in your Jerusalem. Again, if these are areas of your life where you're fighting God, I would encourage you to stop fighting. You know, to raise up the white flag. To do what God wants you to do. I don't think it's something that any of us would ever regret. You know, surrendering to God and doing His will. I must admit, some of this is all too foreign to me anymore, having surrendered my life to the Lord long ago. And you know, I've testified at different times, this is the passage that Herb Hoover was preaching on in March of 1997 when I surrendered to preach. Is that the right year, 97? It's 2017. So is that 20 years? So 20 years ago, I think it was in March, so maybe next month had been 20 years that Herb Hoover was preaching from this text, and he was asking the very same question. What are you holding back from God? And for a year, I had felt like God was calling me to preach and to prepare for the ministry. Because prior to my last year of school, I wondered if I should go back. But I did go back. But that whole year, God was working in my life and working in my heart, preparing me for His call. And you know, maybe if I stop and consider it, which I don't tend to do, I don't want to live past victories. I want to experience future victories. But if you stop and consider it, We gave up everything to follow the Lord's calling. We left our home. We left our church family. We left our biological family. We sold many of our possessions. And we came to Indiana, to a place where we had never been, not having a job or an income, but God provided. God provided for our every need, and He's blessed my family as a result over these last 20 years. I don't think we have to be afraid to surrender our lives to God, regardless of what He ends up having us do. He kindly and gently encourages us to surrender to His will so that He might bless us if we're faithful. You know, as we've talked about on numerous occasions, and we will again when we get to it, in Acts chapter 9, Jesus said to Paul, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know what Paul was doing? As God was dealing with him, he was fighting. He wasn't surrendered. He was fighting. God was bringing him under conviction. God was telling him there at the stoning of Stephen that what you're doing, Paul, or Saul at that time, is wrong. You know what Stephen is saying is true. You know it's scriptural. And yet you keep fighting. You keep punching back. And Jesus was telling him, in essence, why don't you just surrender? Why don't you give up? Raise the white flag. Surrender. And boy, Paul, he did. He gave up a lot too, if you stop and consider it. He gave up his prominence there in Jerusalem and amongst the Pharisees. He gave up his position. He gave up perhaps a lucrative job. those that were his friends, many of them became his enemies. I mean, he exchanged a life, what could have been a life of leisure, for persecution. Do you think he regretted it? No, he said he'd gladly give up those things and count them as dung that he might know Christ. You know, had Paul not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, he probably would have had a good, comfortable life. But not a one of us would know who he was today. But boy, because he surrendered to God's will for his life, he was used in a miraculous way. And now every Christian has heard of the Apostle Paul. You know, I'm not saying that that same thing is necessarily going to happen to you. It doesn't happen to every Christian. There have been all kinds of Christians who have served the Lord faithfully, and we probably don't know who they are. But like Paul, I bet you they don't regret their decision to follow Jesus and to follow him all the way. I said before, and I'll say it again, I think you'll be promoted and exalted by God to the same degree that you sacrifice for him. You'll be rewarded proportionally to what you give up. And I've given examples of how I've witnessed this over the years. Men who have given up lucrative careers and such to teach and to preach the Word of God. And you know what? They never suffered any as a result. They were always blessed by God. So maybe in the military context, we think of surrender as a bad thing. But you know, in the Lord's army, it's not a bad thing. It's something that's necessary. If we're to do all that God would have us to do. So not only do we need to be saved, but we need to be surrendered. And we sing that song, I surrender all. Do we surrender all? Do we trust God first with our salvation? Do we trust that Jesus Christ died for us? That he was buried and then he rose again so that we could be forgiven of our sins. But then do we surrender to him in the area of baptism, in the area of church membership? Do we surrender our pocketbook to him? Do we surrender our service to him? And you know, we could go on and on and on and on with this. Do we surrender all to him? As the song says, all to him I owe. We do owe him everything if we're saved. So how easy should it be for us to in turn surrender everything to him? Just want to encourage you tonight to not only be saved, but be surrendered. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, what a wonderful application that can be made from our text. Lord, we see here a couple who plotted to lie and keep back part of what you seem to have been calling upon them to give. And Lord, the consequence to that was quite severe in this chapter. And Lord, I pray that we would spend some time considering the subject of surrender and what the Bible has to say about it. And might each of us surrender our lives to thee? Might we be more concerned about our service for thee than we are for all other activities on the face of this earth. So just use the message for thy glory and use it for the benefit of thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you will. And let's turn to hymn number 391, I Surrender All.